So I grew up, like some of you that are my age, I grew up on love songs in the 70s and 80s. They were the best, man. 70s and 80s. Well, everybody's like, yeah, right. How old are you? Hopefully your parents, if you were younger, made you listen to them. You know, you probably put your hands over your ears and all that, but I grew up on these love songs, and see, here's the deal. If you grew up on the love songs like I did, after you get saved, you start listening to the lyrics. You know what I'm saying? And when you listen to the lyrics as a spirit-filled Christian, they don't really measure up to what real true love is. So what I would do is I would hear a song and I would change it to God loves you, or, you know, I would put God in it, or I put Jesus in it, so let me just kind of give you a short list of some of those songs. Maybe you do the same thing. You used to fit God into these lyrics, or I mean into the names, the titles of the music, because the lyrics don't fit if you're living for Jesus. And I was a little rock and roll guy too, so can I say that in here? Yeah, okay. So anyway, what's love got to do with it? Just the way you are. Love will keep us together. How deep is your love? I can't help falling in love with you. I love how you love me. What the world needs now is love. Only love can break a heart. The air I breathe, the best of my love, always on my mind. Well, I just want you to know what love has to do with it, Christian-wise, is everything. What love has to do with it is everything. But how about this one? The power of love. Y'all remember that? Come on, you've watched it. You've watched the show Back to the Future. The power of love. Huey Lewis and the news. The power of love. The bridegroom's going to come back for the bride one day, like we heard in that one stanza of that song. Why? Because the power of love. The bridegroom will come for the bride. But I want to tell a little story real quick. Here's a story of a girl named Eric and a girl and a boy named Eric. I'm sorry, a boy named Eric and a girl named Angela. So I was teaching at First Baptist, and our youth minister came up with this great idea. I know you've never heard of it. It's called Life Groups. But he came up with this idea for the teenagers that on Sunday mornings they're going to serve the church. They're going to go out and serve the church. So some of the kids would go out and wash the people's cars and stuff in the parking lot while the adults were in church. They'd wash the cars. The kids would do a puppet show or a skit in the children's classes. They did all kinds of stuff. A church allowed them to be ushers. So all during that time that the adults were in, when they were in service, the kids were serving. And then on Sunday nights, we would have classes. And I was with the juniors and seniors. And it was at a really nice house here in Burleson, and all the kids came. And there was a particular girl named Angela. And Angela's parents, I think her mom and dad were divorced. Her mom was not a Christian. Her sister, none of the family went to church. But a girl from our church was a friend of hers and drug her to church. And she got saved. And I mean, she got saved. She would come every week, and I would be preaching a sermon or a message, and she would come up to me every time, and she'd go, "I needed to hear that tonight." And we became close, Angela and I. And Eric was going to our church as well. And they were in high school together at Burleson High School. They both were in show choir. They both were in drama. Matter of fact, in the senior play, she was the lead in the drama, and he was the male lead in the drama. And as their senior year was starting to come to a close, Angela had been dating this guy for 2 years that was Eric's really good friend. Angela and Eric were really good friends through school. They were in all these classes together. They knew each other well, and she was dating a really good close friend of his. Well, as the prom got close, with a week to go, her boyfriend says, "I'm dropping you and I'm going to the prom with another girl." What a jerk. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, Eric calls her on the phone and says, goes over to her house. She's crying. Eric's trying to comfort her and everything. And he says, I'll take you to the prom. So they go to the prom together. The crazy things happened at the prom. Angela fell in love with Eric. And Angela and Eric ended up going to Abilene Christian College together. They sang in the praise and worship team in the largest church out there. They had a lot of classes together because their major was the same. So the first year, freshman year, went through great. During their sophomore year, Angela started having headaches. And so she started coming home. And one particular weekend, she came home because her head was hurting real bad. She thought she was having another migraine. She came home. And Eric was working. He stayed at the college and was working. And after the weekend, she decided to head back to college. And she got as far as Weatherford. And her head was hurting so bad, she turned back around and called her mom. And her mom said, go to the hospital. So she went to the hospital and they did all these tests. And it comes out that she had an inoperable tumor, brain tumor, and they could not do any surgery on it. And Eric came back from college. They both dropped out. And as soon as Eric found out that she had this cancer and they couldn't do anything other than chemo and all that, he went to the jeweler and bought a ring. And Eric asked her to marry him. All of his friends said, are you crazy? She's going to be going through chemo. She's going to be going through treatments. She may not make it. And Eric opened up and said, in seventh grade, first day of school, I ran into Angela Reese and I fell in love with her. And I never told her. All those years, he was too shy to tell her. He was with her all the time, but he never told her how much he loved her. And so they got married, and we went to the wedding and everything. It was fantastic. And they came home, and they were singing in the praise and worship band at First Baptist Burleson. And she'd get up there and sing, and when she started getting really, really bad and she couldn't sing anymore, Eric would still be up there singing. They got married in the spring. She died in the fall. I want you to know something. That's the power of love. And I want you to know that God's love for us is even more powerful than Eric and Angela. But I remember going to the hospital, and I go into Angela's room, and Eric and her mom leave the room to plan for the funeral. And I went over to Angela, and she reached up and took my hand, and she said, she said, Gary. So I leaned down and she said, I want you to know something. I got mad at God. And I said, I got mad at God too. And I'm still mad at God that you've got this. I would rather I had this than you had this. And she said, listen, it's okay. Because I went back to all the church messages and I went back to all that. And there's hope. And there's resurrection. There's resurrection, she told me. And she said, I'm okay now. I want y'all to know there's resurrection. There's redemption. There's freedom. The power of God is unbelievable. And she had it and she knew it. And I'll never forget after the funeral, her mom, who still didn't go to church, came up to me and she goes, Angela loved you. I said, I loved her too, but here's the deal. Ma'am, I said, she loved God more than she loved anything. Do we love God like that? I want to go back to the first thing that I said, what's God got to do, or what's love got to do with it? Well, I'm going to tell you, what love has to do with it is everything when it comes to our Christianity. We sang about it. Every Sunday we sing about it. Every Wednesday we sing about it. But here's the deal. Love from God started in the garden. Love for God started the sixth day when he created man and woman. And we were the top crown prize. And he's loved humanity ever since. and you'll never stop loving humanity. But when it comes down to a personal love, I just want to read for a minute the power of love in Psalm 139. Y'all have heard this. You're going to hear a lot of scriptures that you've heard, but Psalm 139, verse 15, it says, "My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days are ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." So he loved you before your mom ever had you. He prepared you before you were even born, which is such a tragedy that we have abortion. Because God loves those babies before they're born. But he loves us on a personal level. When you read that verse, I just want you to know he loved you before you ever were born. And he won't quit loving you. He never will. And the power of God's love goes beyond anything you can imagine. Isaiah 53, the power of God's love comes through. Isaiah 53, 5 through 8. "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought him peace was on him. And by his wounds we are healed." We are healed by his wounds. "We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he didn't open his mouth. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter. And as the sheep before the shearers, he was silent, so he did not open his mouth." That's how much God loves us. John 3:16. Y'all know that. In John 3:16, he basically that wraps up the gospel in one verse. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." That's love. That's the power of love. Romans 5:8, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." 1 John 3:16, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters." That's what love is. Billy Graham's grandson came to Burleson years ago, and we had a revival type thing at the high school, at Burleson High School. And I remember him getting up there and talking about the love he had for his friends, which is talked about here. And he's telling about how, being from the mountains of North Carolina, they go hunting all the time. So him and his best friend get in the truck, and they're driving, getting ready to go hunting. And his best friend is in the front seat cleaning his gun. And they're driving down the road, and his best friend, they're talking about Jesus. They're talking about their lives and how much their friendship means. And his best friend looks over at Will and says, "Will, I want you to know something." He said, "I love you enough that I would die for you." And Will looks at the gun and goes, "Uh-oh." And then he says, "You know what?" He said, "I love you so much I'd die for you too." And they're driving a little bit farther, and his best friend turns and looks at him and says, "But I would never let my son die for you." That's what God did. That's what God did for us. And I hope tonight we'll understand how much he loves us before we walk out tonight. Here's the thing. Romans 10:13 says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Acts 2:21, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Same thing. Everyone. How will they know? How do the lost know? Somebody's got to talk to them about it. We're living in a country and in a world right now where everybody doesn't know anything about salvation. Psalm 18, 1-2. I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and my horn, and my salvation and my stronghold. Here's the thing. This is what we need to really get a hold of tonight. All these things that God has done for everyone in this room that's given their life to Christ. This is what He's done for us. Salvation. If you're sitting here and you've been saved and you've been saved, I want to ask you a question. What have you been saved from? What are we saved from? We're saved from condemnation of sin. We're saved from the second death. We're saved for eternity. We're saved from having being separated from God forever. We're saved from hell. We're saved from unrighteousness. We're saved from hatred. We're saved from bitterness. We're saved from the lack of peace. We're saved from more than even that. The question is, do we believe? If we've been saved, then we need to return the power of God back to Him with our love for Him. The Word, in the Word, it talks about how we are to love Him. The power of love, of honoring God. There's three things I want to talk to you about tonight. And Pastor Mark gave me an hour to talk about it, but no, not really. I'm just, yeah, Joni's like, ain't no way, buddy. I got to laugh at her, man. She usually not. Anyway, the question is, okay, we've been saved from so much. I've been saved from the pit, as many of us have. So what do we do? What are we saved to do? Well, we're saved to return that kind of love to God, to the Word, and to others. Those three things. We're saved to return that. We're supposed to love God like He loves us. Psalm 42, 1 through 2, it says, as a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you. My God, my soul thirsts for you, God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? Well, I'll just tell you one thing. You can meet God in the church. You can meet God in your prayer closet. You can meet God on the street, witnessing to other people. You can meet God everywhere if you're open to it, if you're ready for it, if you've prepared yourself before you walk out in the morning and go, give me somebody to talk to. Give me somebody to hug today. Give me somebody to speak to today. It's really not as hard as we think. Psalm 116, 1-2 says this, I love the Lord. You can stop right there. I love the Lord, for He heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy because He turned His ear to me. I will call on Him as long as I live. I just want you to know God listens. When you cry out to God, when you pray to God, when your life's messed up, when things are going on, He listens. He listens to you. Our problem in America is we want the answer right now. We want it now. It may not be now. But he listens. He'll start working for you immediately, but it may not be the way you want it either. But he listens. All the things that David went through in his lifetime, chased by Saul, chased by Absalom, enemies all over the place, and he writes this kind of stuff. He loves God no matter what. And that's how we've got to turn out to be. Psalm 63:1. By the way, just read the whole chapter of Psalm 63, but 63:1 says, "You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water." Earnestly he seeks for God. He thirsts for God. It's like he'll die without him. You know what? A lot of people are dying without him because they don't thirst for him, because most of them don't know him like we do. They don't know our God like that. And then why, you know, the other thing we should do is why should we honor the Son? Why should we honor Jesus? And in John 6:40, this is what it says. This is Jesus talking, "For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." See, the bridegroom is coming back for the bride. The bride is the church. He will raise up the Christians on the last day. You will not suffer the wrath of God. We just have to believe, and we have to live it out. The next thing is the Word, the power of loving the Word. I just want you to know that I found this out after I got saved, that when I was an athlete, I trained. When I was an athlete, you can ask anybody who played on my team in high school, I was the most competitive guy you've ever met in your life. But when I got saved, I was competitive in reading the Word. I wanted to read the Word. I wanted to, if I'm going to be a Christian, I want to know what this is all about. And I wasn't very good at it, but I started doing it. And then when I started teaching, I had to learn the Word because I was going to teach the Word. And so the Word will allow you to know God more. It'll allow you to know why he had to send Jesus. It'll allow you to know about the resurrection. It'll allow you to know about how to live your life, how to do your marriage, how to raise your children. It'll let you know all these things. That's the power of us deciding in our heart that I'm going to love the Word. I'm going to love it. I'm going to read it. I'm going to study it. I'm going to hang out with people that do. And we're going to get a Bible study going, whatever it takes. Coming to church, whatever it takes. I'm going to love that Word. And here's the thing that amazes me, that God gave us the Holy Spirit so that when we start reading the Word, we can understand it. Before I was a Christian, I'd try to read the Bible. You know, we had this big Bible in our house, huge. My parents used it to keep a door open. And once in a while, I'd kind of pull it out and look at it, and I didn't know what it meant. I mean, it was big time King James way back. I think King James wrote it. I'm not sure. But I didn't understand it. How many of y'all read the Bible before you became a Christian and couldn't understand it? Am I the only one? Wow, there's only five of us. I'm dumber than I thought. But when I became a Christian and the Holy Spirit indwelled within me and I started reading the Bible, I'm like, oh my goodness, I've got to cut that out. Or I've got to move and do something here. Or I've got to treat my wife like this. But she better treat me better. No, I'm just kidding. But the power of the Word changes lives. It changes lives. Psalm 119, 11. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. That's a good reason. That's a good reason. Hide the word in your heart. Know right from wrong. Teach your kids right from wrong from the word. 119, 105. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. Psalm 119, 89. Your word, Lord, is eternal. It's eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Matthew 24:25. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away, Jesus says. John 8:31-32. I'm saying more scriptures than Mark does on a Sunday. John 8:31-32. If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The Word of God. So every month in the last 6.5 years, I've gone to Kansas City. I have customers up there in Kansas City. And so in the last 4 years, I guess it's been, I fly into Kansas City. I rent a car from Hertz or Dollar. Hertz owns Dollar. So I rent a car, and I go in. I get there early, and there's this one lady there that I go straight to if no one's at the counter. Because when I go straight to this lady to get my contract and everything, she's got her Bible wide open. And the first time I saw that, I said, "You reading the Bible?" She goes, "Yeah." I said, "This is corporate America." And she starts laughing. She goes, "I don't care. They can fire me. Doesn't matter to me." Every time I went there from that point on, even if I had to wait for her, I waited for her. Because I'd say, "What are you reading?" And she'd tell me what she's reading. And she'd say, "Well, what are you reading?" Got me back. You know, and I have to tell her where I'm at and if I'm reading. I just went up there on the 12th, on the 11th this month. She had her Bible out again, like normal. We start talking, and she said, "Hey, where you been? What's been going on?" I said, "Well, I just lost my best friend, you know, guy I've been doing ministry with for 15 years. I just went to his funeral and everything." And she looked down, and she goes, "Well, I just lost my sister." "Well, what do you say? I mean, I didn't have to say anything, because she looked up. She said, "Here's your contract. I'm going to take you out to your car." They don't do that. So she starts to take me out to the car, and she stops and she goes, "Would you pray for me?" And she and I prayed. She said, "I'm going to pray over you. You pray over me." We pray for in front of everybody. You know what? Because I don't care. And she didn't either. I just want you to know the power of the Word of God is in that woman. That's the first time I've ever seen her outside that counter. I didn't know she was my height. But one thing I do know is she's got God in her heart, and she doesn't care what corporate America thinks one bit. She loves the Word. She can quote it. The power of loving, we got the power of loving the Word, the power of loving God 100%, the power of loving the Word, and I want to talk about the power of loving your Christian brothers and sisters and everyone else. John 3:10. Well, I want to stop before that. I just want to tell you something before I even start to talk on this one. Many of you don't know this. First John 10, but many of you don't know this, but Carl and I and a bunch of people in here do know this. Every Wednesday night, and a lot of times on Sunday, there was a guy named Russell Rogers. He sat in that seat right there. He loved the Lord with all of his heart. He had powerful love for God. He got saved out of drugs and stuff. He had a powerful love for God. He had a powerful love for the Word. And he had a powerful love for people. And he didn't care if they were homeless. He didn't care if they were multimillionaires. He didn't care. He's riding around half crippled. He'd come in here and he'd sit there, and sometimes you would see him get up and walk back to the back because he had to have, what was it? Dialysis. He had to have dialysis all the time. He's sitting on the end, and if Pastor Mark's preaching and he actually gets up during a sermon and walks back there, the reason is he doesn't want to fall asleep in front of Pastor Mark and disrespect him. He would get up and walk back there because he didn't want to fall asleep. That's the respect he had for Pastor Mark and the Word of God. He and I have witnessed before. I didn't have a chance to do a whole lot with him. But about a month before he passed away, he came into the coffee shop that we have on Thursday mornings, and he handed me this. I'm like, what's that? And he goes, just read it when you leave. What this is teaching me even more about how to speak to people. He must not. He's like, you're a little rough or something. I don't know. But he gave me this, and it says how to speak to people, don't be like a child, all kinds of stuff in here he gave me. And a month later, he passed away. I love that guy. What an example he was. Reminding me when Paul got stoned and left for dead, and everybody was praying over him, and he got up and walked back in the same city that stoned him. That would be Russell. Nothing stopped that guy. 1 John. Sorry, I had to just bring that out. He's a hero to me. 1 John 3:10. This is how we know who the children of God are. Listen to me if you're a child of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child. Now here's what I want us to get. Nor is anyone who does not love their brother and sister. Well, who's my brother and sister? Pastor Mark preached on it, on the Samaritans. But I want you to know, there's a lot of you in this room that I don't know, but I'll tell you what, you go to my church and I love you. And I hope to get to know everyone that I don't know. We're not children of God if we don't love our brothers and sisters in Christ or our brothers and sisters at home. I don't think, being with Russell, I don't think I ever ran into anyone that he didn't show love to. Let's stick there. 1 John 3:16 and 18. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech. Let me read that again. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Not just words and speech, but in actions. There's got to be actions behind love. Chapter 4, verse 10. This is love. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. Last thing. Hope you're not getting too tired of all the verses, but God gave them to me. Sorry. Chapter 10, Romans 13 through 15. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I think we've heard that once. But here's what I want you to know. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one they've never heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. That's who we're called to be. God loved us enough to save us. To what? What did He save us to do? All these things I read. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love others. Love the Word. Study the Word. Get into a Bible class. Get into the Word with two or three friends. I told a story one time about a kid in Cleveland started a Bible study at lunch. Next week, a girl that he liked brought her Bible, and they started studying. Before the whole semester was over, 100 kids were studying their Bible at Cleveland High School. That can happen anywhere, anytime, when people actually stand up and rise up. There's so many people lost, even in Burleson, new people moving in. We got a lot of work to do, and I hope we can get past that. I hope y'all like all the names of my songs, but I got one more for you. Don't stop believing. Don't stop believing. I know it's a journey song. I loved it. It has more to me as a Christian now than it did listening to Journey sing it. Don't back down. Do not back down. Right? You got brothers and sisters that love you, don't you? That care about you. Right here, sitting here in this church. Don't stop believing. And when you're struggling, you pick up the phone and you call me, you call Pastor Mark, you call Gary, you call people that you know will stand up with you. Josh, a lot of people here will stand up with you. Love you, hug you. We have prayer time up here on Sunday mornings. Ask for prayer. We need to go out and make a difference.